Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children's sake.
Ah, here we are again on a Thursday night, Sacking Them Stones of Truth. Brother Brandon Teague on the Old Paths broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. And my friends, it is good to have you join me on their waves as we spread the truth of the Word of the Living God. And I'm thankful to be His servant tonight. Just want to say tonight, by way of introduction, that I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that my sins have been washed as white as snow in His perfect blood, and I have no king but Jesus. And I'm thankful tonight to know for sure that He is my Savior. And friends, we're glad to be coming to you tonight, wherever you may be at. We hope you have time to sit for 2 hours. For 2 hours, we're going to broadcast tonight, talking about a very important matter. And before we get into it real deep, I just want to share with you that I have a serious burden for my country. I have a burden that our country is in serious trouble, and I think if you do not understand that, you evidently got your head in the sand, and I want you to wake up. We're here to wake people up. We're here to hopefully get some Christians to thinking clearly according to the Word of God and not according to the major news sources, not according to what's been told to them in these state churches, but we're hoping to wake up the remnant of God's people out there that want the truth, that are hungry for the truth, that want to be preached truth, that want to be they want to embrace it, they want to live it, and they want to act it out. And that's what we're here for tonight. But you know, the truth of the matter is, until you understand what the truth is, then you can't do anything with it. And in this day and time that we're living in, we're being just completely inundated with basically just shut up and obey and do as you're told. And my friends, as we look into the Bible, we're going to find out some really interesting things tonight regarding these things. I want to mention our call-in number tonight, and if you'd like to call in and weigh in on the subject, let me give you that number. The number is 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266. Again, this is Brother Brandon Teague on the Old Paths broadcast, and tonight we are going to be joined here in just a few moments by my good friend, Brother Jason Cooley, who's the pastor of the Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. He was on the program with us last week when we talked on the 501c3 issue, and you're going to find as you listen week by week to this broadcast that we're going to have our finger on the pulse of what's going on as far as what's going on in America, what's going on in the Lord's churches. And listen, we're valiant for truth, my friends. We don't know how much time we've got left on this earth. We don't know how hot the battle's going to get before the Lord calls us to lay down our swords and go home, but we're going to fight the battle for the Lord's. We're in the Lord's army. We're in the Lord's service, and we're to preach the gospel. We're to keep truth and error separated, and we are marching on for the Lord's sake, earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And at this time, I'm gonna invite my good friend, Brother Jason Cooley, to come on the air with me. And Brother, why don't you come on here? And Brother, Mr. Producer, why don't you get him on the air with us? But there he is.
Can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you loud and clear all the way from the great white north of Minnesota.
That's right. We just had 2 inches of snow this morning, and I've heard a rumor that there's supposed to be a foot of snow on the way this weekend.
Well, brother, it was 80 degrees, and I was working outside and felt the good warm sun on me. So, you know, God's good. It doesn't matter what situation you're in.
Amen, brother. He certainly is, and I'm so happy to be on the program here and to bring this great truth tonight and really to open it up to explain what is the importance of this. Why is Romans 13 so important to us and to Christians today and to churches today, and what is the vital importance of understanding this? Pastor Teague, I think one of the major reasons that churches become 501c3s, one of the major reasons they get so involved with the state and they take the tax-exempt status and things like that, I believe it's because they have a false interpretation of Romans 13.
Yes, I agree.
And when you interpret Romans chapter 13, you must interpret it with the rest of the Bible. When we get into a lot of trouble, brother, what the trouble comes in is when people, they take Romans 13 or preachers take Romans 13 and they isolate it from the rest of the scriptures and they try to interpret it like that. And you're going to, you know, if it's not consistent all the way through the Bible and if it's not consistent all the way through the New Testament, then we have a problem with the interpretation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what the Bible said over there in Peter, said that no scripture is of any private interpretation.
Amen. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say, and that is exactly what has happened down through history. Anytime that you had a large Christian population and you had a government that realized that they were face to face with this Christian population, they took Romans 13 and they took it to beat the people over the head with, and especially in Nazi Germany. Of course, we can get into that a little later, but go ahead.
No, brother, that's excellent. That's an excellent point, and that was the next direction I was going. A false interpretation of this scripture has led to enslavement of people, has led to the murder of millions of Jews. Hitler's vendetta, his Antichrist, vendetta against the Jewish people, as well as many societies have used it, many other countries have used it. And to enslave the people and to say, well, look, God says that you're supposed to obey whatever. Well, is that really what God says? Am I supposed to obey everything? We're going to look at this verse by verse when you're ready, Brother Teague, and we're going to look at this, Brother Brandon, and see exactly what God is talking about in this scripture and what is the lesson that he has for his people here.
Absolutely. Speaking of Hitler, Hitler was democratically elected. He came into office. He was democratically elected, just the same. And I want to draw the comparison. I know it's probably going to ruffle some feathers. I know some people are not going to like what I'm going to say, but I want to draw the comparison between Hitler and Barack Hussein Obama, because we're seeing him acting out a lot of ways in a very dictatorial manner in this day and time. He seems to feel as though, if you look at the sheer number of executive orders that he has signed into place, that he is acting in a very dictatorial, I guess that's the word, manner. But both of them were democratically elected. Hitler was elected the ruler of Germany from 1933 to 1945, and he commanded both the Catholics and the Protestant Christians, and the Baptists were there, to preach unconditional subjugation to Hitler, and unconditional. They were to be subject to him, to whatever he said, under the pretense of Romans chapter 13. And brother, before the show came on air, I was online and I was doing a little show prep, and I was reminded of a news report. And I mentioned this before when you and Brother Finney were down, and we were on television, that I had watched a video clip on YouTube, and it's still there. If anyone wants to go on, log on, and watch it for themselves, all they have to type in would be clergy response team. And the clergy response team, it was a news report from KSLA-TV, and that's out of Shreveport, Louisiana. I grew up watching KSLA-TV. And on KSLA-TV, right after Hurricane Katrina hit and all the mass chaos was going on, they did a news report on martial law and what if. And they were interviewing this pastor, and they were talking about these clergy response teams and how they were going to help the government to deal with the people. And this pastor sat back in his study and he said, look, when the problems, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but when he said, when the problem hits, he said, we're not going to ask a bunch of questions. We're just going to say, hey, what can we do to get this situation under control? And we'll solve our differences later. And, you know, folks, this, you know, once it starts, you'll never get it back. That's the point I want to make. Once our country starts looking through this false lens of this false interpretation of Romans 13, it will never stop. It will just, the noose will get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter until it's over. And that was really Brother Finney. Brother Cooley. That's really what I wanted to hit on, because you know that's what happened in Nazi Germany, and we're seeing in America this idea of, you know, if the government says it, we just need to go along with it. We don't need to ask too many questions. That's politically incorrect. We should just submit and do whatever we're told. That's the public mindset out there.
Yes, it is, and also, if I may kind of add to what you're saying here, let's go back to George W. Bush here. That right before President Obama was elected, George Bush decided that he had the Patriot Act ready the very next day to sign into law, and right after 9/11 took place, and then I mean he enacted all of these strict and stringent laws the Patriot Act and then Barack Obama added the National Detention Act and everything else, and all these were liberty robbers. And you know, there are rumors out there that stated that a lot of the major mega churches, their pastors from the religious right were brought into the White House by George W. Bush, and they were basically told about these wars and everything. To, hey, listen, we got to preach against this, and we got to preach for this war and to stay the course, and we got to tell the people to stay the course in the war, and we got to encourage them to fight these Muslim terrorists and everything like that. And all that was doing was the 501c3 control over the churches and the kind of influence over them that they had, that President Bush had, and it was kind of a flattering thing for those pastors to be invited to the White House and everything like that. So I think that's all falls in and all factors into what we're talking about tonight.
Absolutely. And you know, your average mom and pop sitting on the couch watching the evening news, brother, they're going to have a really hard time swallowing what we're saying, because we've just been programmed all our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of my grandparents. You know, I remember years ago when they were voting for Bill Clinton, and because he was from Arkansas and he was a good old boy, and trying to explain to them, you know, do you not realize what this man stands for? And they gave me that same old line. Well, the Democrats for the working man, the Republicans for the rich guy. And, you know, that's that mindset, that old ingrained mindset that most of the older generation, many of them still have, to their own detriment. And the younger generation are more or less disaffected by politics altogether. And so, and you have that middle group, and they just can't quite see it. You got middle-aged America, and they're still locked into that Republican Democratic paradigm, and cannot break free from it long enough to see what's really going on under the table.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Brother Teague. The problem is that they are hypnotized by a right-left paradigm, no doubt by men like Rush Limbaugh and other men that have been kept them in that paradigm and kept them in that kind of hypnotized into that paradigm of, oh, the right, the religious right, or the right, the conservative Republicans are always right, which they're not even conservative, but
no.
Then you have on the other side where the liberals, they're always wrong, and they're always, you know, they're always, you know, out in left field and everything else like that, which they are for the most part as far as that goes, but the sad thing is the Republicans are not. But the whole crux of this whole argument comes down to, what are the Christians going to do? Don't be in a right-left paradigm. Be in the Bible and understand biblical truth, and that's what we really want to cover tonight, so we understand as Christians, what is our biblical responsibility concerning civil government?
Right, exactly. Well, brother, you know, I'm just having a thought here. Our rights as far as civil government, we're gonna have to get on board with whatever God says, and we need to find out what our rights are according to the Word of God. You know, when you say our rights, the first thing I think of is I think of our founding fathers. I think not only of our founding fathers, but our Baptist forefathers and the relationship that was had between those who were forming our government and those who went on before us. I mean, who were there before us, who established Baptist churches in America, and the fight and the battle, the struggle that they went through to get us what we have today. And brother, they weren't apathetic. It wasn't a small thing to them. They were very involved, to the point of raising up arms against a tyrannical government in order to fight for their freedoms. And that mindset today, I just don't see it in America. I just don't see anyone passionate. There are a few of us who are passionate about what we believe and about maintaining it. But for the most part, I don't see them, brother, and we've got to wake them up. Wake them up to be passionate about what we believe, because if we don't know where we came from, we have no idea where we're going, and if we don't understand history, then as the old saying goes, we're doomed to repeat it.
We certainly are, and without a proper understanding of what civil government's role is in the life of the believer, and that we should obey God rather than man, without understanding those principles and what the Bible says about that, my goodness, God's people will be led astray, and they will follow these political pundits out there, that would be whoever they may be, they'll follow them before they follow God. And you and I have to remember, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to answer to God for our decisions, and we better make decisions that are based on the Bible.
Amen. Amen. You know, earlier when we were talking about Hitler, and we were talking about, you know, how he used Romans 13, and I don't want to jump the gun. I'm sure we'll go back to this, but I've just got it on the forefront of my mind right now. There was a Christian in Nazi Germany, and we're talking about the way most people they really don't have their eyes open. They really don't understand the scope of what we're talking about and what we're going to get into tonight. And hopefully we'll open some eyes and we'll bring some things to the forefront. But there's a little writing from Martin. I think it's Niemöller. Do you know how to pronounce that better than I do? Where it was the statement. Do you know the statement? I just didn't know if you knew the man's name. Reverend Martin Niemöller. He was a Lutheran pastor, and he was arrested by the Gestapo in 1937. He didn't understand the seriousness of the hour. He didn't understand the graveness of what he was facing. And here's what he said. He said, they came first for the communists. And I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. He said, then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. But then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up. And that's why we've got to educate people now so that people can, not just on Blog Talk Radio, but so people all over this country can begin a dialogue and start talking and speaking up and speaking to their elected leaders and speaking in their behind their preachers, speaking behind their pulpits. And we've got to get people awake so pastors can come out in the state church union and begin to preach truth and begin to wake their people up. And brother, I'm just excited we're on the air talking about it.
Hey, Ben, it's such an important topic today, especially because, listen, as government gets more and more tyrannical and a one-world government is formed, if you believe the Bible, and a one-world government is formed and a one-world currency and a one-world church is formed, we are going to come to decisions as that is being formed. Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow man? Is it always wrong to disobey government?
If you're asking me, brother, I'd say it's absolutely okay to disobey government when government disobeys God.
Absolutely, and that's just that's a quick little question there for understanding, but it'll make our listeners think about that for a second. Well, what does God want me to always obey government? What if government tells me to do something? Are there any examples in the Bible of people disobeying government to obey God? Well, yes, there are. And brother, when you want me to talk about those and get started with that, you just let me know and we'll do that.
Amen. Listen, we've got to think with these questions. These are hard things to ask. These are very hard things to ask. And again, let me remind folks out there, listen, if you'd like to weigh in on this, we want you to call in. We've got one caller. He's waiting. He'll be on in a little bit. But anyway, let me remind them of that call-in number. It's 646-915-9266. One more time, 646-915-9266. These are things we've got to consider. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of questions out there, Brother Cooley, that I myself have to ask myself daily. We hear all this talk of gun confiscation. And what am I going to do when they come, if they do come, indeed, come for my guns? What will you do if they indeed come for your guns? And will we stand in an armed resistance against those who would come to harm our family? Will we fight back? I believe our Second Amendment is there for that purpose and that purpose alone. It is to defend ourselves against enemies, both foreign and domestic. It's a serious matter. Hey, Brother Cooley, I want to bring a friend of mine on the program just for a little bit. We got a few minutes before we go to break. But his name is Lehman Dollins. He's calling out of Clearwater, Florida.
Hi,
Lehman,
Brandon.
Are you there?
I'm here, Brandon. Hello, Pastor Cooley.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you getting loud and clear.
Awesome. Hey, I was just listening a little bit to the broadcast, and it seems to me that the general public, they hold on to this idea of turning the other cheek. And to me, it's a simple misunderstanding of Scripture. To me, because I rightly divide the word, I know that what Jesus is saying there isn't necessarily to me, that it's not my mail. It isn't being delivered to me. Would you, pastors, care to elaborate on that to maybe make that more clear to listeners out there?
Well, let me start out by saying that I believe the overlying principle is to all Bible believers, but
right.
the overlying principle of that is not. Let some stand there and let some guy punch you in the face, knock your teeth out, beat you up, and turn the other cheek and let him do that. That's not what he was saying. If you understand the custom of the time and you study what Jesus was talking about, there was a custom over in Israel. And that custom was that if someone were to slap you in the face, turn the other cheek, they weren't slapping the teeth out of your mouth. They were doing it as an insult. They were insulting your pride, and they were just kind of tapping you across the face and saying, I'm rebuking you, or I think ill of you. I think less. And Jesus was saying to him, well, if they do it to you, then turn the other cheek and let them do it again, because thus is the kingdom of heaven. What he was saying to them is that so what, the man is wounding your pride. He's not hurting you physically. That's not what he was talking. That's not what Jesus was saying, that just turn the other cheek and let him punch that one out. That's not, he wasn't preaching a passiveness, against self-defense. The reason it was given was because the Jews were very proud, and they're very arrogant people, and they could not stand to be belittled or their pride to be challenged or anything like that. If they were, they would get upset, and they would make a big deal out of it. And Jesus was saying, no, don't make a big deal out of it. It's just your pride. Turn the other cheek.
Okay. So, once again, it's a misunderstanding of Scripture by a society who, when it's convenient, they want to hold the church body to Scripture, but when the church body wants to hold them to Scripture, it's a whole other ball game, right?
That's right. That's absolutely correct. It's a one-sided interpretation and never applied to themselves, but only applied to someone else. And it's pharisaical. It's exactly what Jesus was preaching against at the Sermon on the Mount. He was preaching against their pharisaicalism, where they would bind men with heavy burdens upon them, but wouldn't take any of the burden on themselves at all.
Right. And so, but within the church body, within the body of believers, don't you think that it's the average Bible reader doesn't have the historical context that you just laid out for us, Pastor Cooley?
Absolutely not. You're right.
When they look at what Paul says in the epistles about protecting your family versus what Jesus said in that particular moment catchphrase or the catch verse that everybody likes to point to and say you're supposed to be a pacifist Christian. The body of believers does that. They like to think that you're supposed to be a pacifist all the time, and they don't reconcile the fact that what Paul said about protecting your family at the same time. I know I'm not being very clear.
No, I think you're being very clear, Lehman. And I tell you what, I want you to hold that thought. We got about a minute. We're going to go to break, and when we come back from break, I think we ought to hit on that. What you're talking about, protecting your family. I think I know the scripture you got in mind, and
okay.
I think I know right where you're headed. And so I think you're headed to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, and that's what we'll do. We'll go to break here in just a second, and you just stay on the line. And we'll go there when we get back. But Brother Cooley and Brother Lehman Dollins, my good friend. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and just say, Lehman, just for those who are listening out there, Lehman and I go back a long ways. Lehman is actually the first person that I ever led to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Christ saved him, but I was the one that witnessed to him so many years ago, and he's serving the Lord, and I rejoice with him and his wonderful wife and beautiful daughters down in Clearwater, Florida, and just so thankful to have him on the show. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back right here on the Old Path Broadcast.
We've been forgiven.
just want to please him. This is my crown. This is my crown. We sure ain't proud of the way that we live for a king. We were just losers. Now winners God uses. Tell other folks there's hope in his name. Well, you can't impress us with silver or gold. Treasures in heaven, riches untold. Sold out on Jesus. We just want to please him. This is my crown. This is my crown. We're heaven bound. When the Father says time's come, out of a thousand ages. We'll shout and say, we've only begun. Now maybe today you can't rejoice. He never made Jesus your choice. He'll save you today. And then you can say, hey, this is my crown. This is my crown.
Okay. And we're back. Back on the Old Paths broadcast. This is your host, Brother Brandon Teague, and we're talking through 2 hours nonstop, giving it all we've got for the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to hammer out this truth and sort through the nonsense that is going on today in this old world we live in. And we've been talking for the first 30 minutes. We're trying to set the stage to get people to understand that you've got to cut through all of the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, fair and balanced news bias, whatever you want to call it. We're being inundated everywhere we turn with a mandate from the White House look, kids, this is the way it's going to be, so just take your pill and be quiet. We're being told that our rights, it's okay for our rights to be taken away from us and for them to be able to do whatever they want. Folks, that is not the way this country was set up, and that is not the way things are supposed to be. And as a Christian living in the middle of all of this chaos, how do we do things God's way? That's really what it comes down to. The title of this show today is The Final Authority. Who's really the final authority? And you have got to establish that. Dad, listen to me. If there are dads out there listening to me, Dad, you have got to decide who is in charge. And who's going to be in charge when it comes to you and your family? Is it going to be the President of the United States? Is it going to be the United Nations guy? Is it going to be, who's it going to be? Is it going to be you or is it going to be God? And that's really what it comes down to. Who has the final say? Well, if the government says this and God says something different, who do I listen to? Who do I obey? That's what we're coming down to. We're going to cut down to the nitty gritty. And I've got Pastor Jason Cooley on the line from Northfield, Minnesota, Old Paths Baptist Church. And I've also got on the line my good friend Lehman Dollins out of Clearwater, Florida. Man, we've got them from all over the country tonight. Are you there, guys?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Before we went to break, Brother Lehman, you brought up providing for our family, and we've realized we're talking about the same verse, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And of course, we're not taking a passage out of context. if you want to look at the context that Paul is giving here in 1 Timothy, we can read it down from the first verse. It says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the young men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity, honor widows that are widows indeed. This is the treatment of people within the church. And then as we come down through here, he says that, he says in verse 8, he says, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically, God's not dealing in generalities. He's getting right down to where you live. And specifically for those of his own house, if any provide not for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Pastor Cooley, why don't you weigh in there?
Well, it says very clearly the Bible is speaking of providing and taking care of your home. Now, if I look at the ultimate provider is God, and I know that he feeds me, he clothes me, he provides for me, my Father in heaven does, and he gives me everything necessary. And as a father, I'm to do the same for my wife and my children, and I'm to be the covering for them. I'm to be the head of the home, and I'm to take care of them, and that means defending them. That means protecting them. That means feeding them and clothing them and giving them safety and comfort and the things of life that I'm supposed to spiritually, I'm supposed to provide for them spiritually, but as well as physically, and I'm to be the covering for them and a protector for them. That's what God designed us for, that Eve came from Adam, and he was the care for her, and he was the head over her. And that means that he's protecting her, and he's keeping her from harm's way, and that's exactly what we're supposed to do with our families. So if you say, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. My Bible is very clear here that what provision is, if you study provision all through the scriptures, you will see that provision covers everything. Covers safety and everything that it possibly could. So that the father's supposed to. So that's what I see there is very clearly being taught.
Right, and I know we haven't even gotten into Romans chapter 13 yet. We're kind of setting the stage. But seeing as how it is at the forefront of the issues of the day, this matter of gun control and gun confiscation. You know, when you think about your family, when your family beds down at night, how am I providing for my family if I were to turn over all my guns to the government because they say so, in violation of our Constitution, Bill of Rights? And I just turn over my guns, and then a robber comes to break in the middle of the night and do things that I can't even imagine to my family, and I just sit there and say, honey, God will provide. Listen, I have not provided. God has given me a country to live in, and he gave me forefathers who stood and would not budge on that Bill of Rights so that I would have those freedoms. And now that we have those freedoms, we are to stand for those freedoms, lest we lose them and therefore lose the ability to provide for our family. And folks, I'm just telling you out there, listen, I don't think we're violating any scripture by trying to provide protection for our families.
Amen. Well,
absolutely.
Amen
not
on that.
Absolutely not. And we can't go back and ask the Germans and the Jews what they think about it after they gave up their arms, because they're all dead.
Exactly.
And they were murdered. They were murdered by a tyrannical government. And the way our Constitution is set up and our Bill of Rights is set up, we are not lawbreakers by following the law of the land, which is the Constitution. We do not have a dictatorship in America. We do not have in fact, our lawmakers are not allowed to legislate outside of the founding documents. However, they have saw fit to do that and be tyrannical, but that doesn't mean that they are right with God, and it doesn't mean that they are obeying the law of the land. You see, they are the lawbreakers. We are not the lawbreakers. We are the law abiders.
Amen. Amen. We're getting closer and closer to getting into Romans 13. We're creeping up on it now. Amen. Let me mention that call-in number one more time. Producer, he's screaming at me through his pointer on his computer screen. 646-915-9266. 646-915-9266. Be sure if you'd like to call in and weigh in on the subject matter with us. Brothers, let's go ahead and get the Bible out and let's look tonight at Romans chapter 13. And Brother Cooley, you think maybe we ought to just read the entire chapter, or you think we ought to take it bit by bit?
Well, let's take it. I think we should start out just with the first verse and then just continue on down the line there, and we won't lose any context because we'll stay right in the context of it right where it's at and read the whole chapter through as we go. I think that's a better way to do that as far as for this time on the radio and this study goes.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll read the scripture and you just take off on it, okay?
Sounds good, brother.
Okay. Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Amen. As we look at this verse, we believe the Bible 100%. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That is absolutely true. Now, the highest power of, well, first of all, there's a hierarchy of law, and God is above all law. God is the law above all law. We must understand that first and foremost, that God is the highest law in the universe.
Sure, he's spoken in existence.
Amen, brother. God's law trumps man's law any day, every day, all day of the week. Amen. Every day of the week, it trumps man's law. Now, but it also says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, the way our country was formed here, we have a constitution and we have a Bill of Rights. And the highest law of the land is that constitution and the Bill of Rights. It is not a tyrannical dictator. It is not a person that tries to legislate outside of that law. They are lawbreakers, and they are breaking the law of the land. And we, by following the law of the land, are obeying it. So, absolutely, the Bible is very clear, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Now, remember that. Remember this, that those lawmakers, so to speak, those legislators, they have to answer to God as well. And they have
Amen.
To answer also, they have to also answer to the law of the land. They're not allowed to usurp the law of the land and pass other laws that are against the law of the land.
Right. Amen. And that's exactly what's going on today. You know, brother, I don't know whether, I'm sure you read it, and I may have actually read it on one of your posts, but the brand new CIA director swore to uphold the Constitution that did not include the Bill of Rights.
Mm. Yeah.
That wasn't an accident, by the way.
Oh no! Put his hand on a copy. I'm assuming it was an archived copy that was before the Bill of Rights was added.
Oh my goodness!
So in doing so, he's swearing to uphold something without all those rights. So they're trying to get rid of those rights, and like
well,
I said, they're not being subject.
No, they're not. And it does say here that the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, what we find out is Brother Brandon's going to read some more verses here. We're going to find out those powers that be are ordained of God. Does that mean that everything that they do as humans are ordained of God and that we should follow them? Is that what the Bible is saying? Is that the lesson that God has for us, that we are to follow tyrannical, wicked, evilness? No, I don't believe so. Brother Brandon, why don't you read the next three verses down there?
Okay. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to be for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
All right. Good right there. Good. I love the word of God. Wonderful verses here. It says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, he explains it in verse number three. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now,
right.
Stop right there. This is the prevailing teaching of Romans 13. That rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. They are there to civil government is instituted to punish evildoers. If you hurt somebody's life, liberty, or their property, if you harm them, civil government has the responsibility to come in there and to protect those two parties and to bring some closure to that. That's civil government's job. However, the prevailing truth is evil versus good. Evil versus
Amen.
Good. So, what if civil government decides to be evil? Am I to follow the evil and say, well, I'm just following God because God wants me to follow this evil, so I'm going to take this, so I'm in Nazi Germany back when Hitler was in office there, and now I have a decision to make. Hitler said that I should follow the powers that be ordained of God. And brother, I'll tell you something. They sound like a bunch of parrots that say it now. What? The powers that be? The powers that be? That's how
exactly.
They sound. That's how they sound today. And they try to get you to follow just anything. That's what Hitler did. Oh, just follow the government and everything that they say. Because otherwise you're not being godly if you don't. Now, that's not what God said here. Now, if I was back there and I had to come to a decision just like they did, they had to say, well, Hitler says that the powers that be ordained of God, so I have to follow. I have to follow whatever Hitler says. So I need to turn this Jew over to the government so they can burn him in an oven somewhere or rape and kill them and murder them and mutilate them and do genetic modification on them and be wicked and heinous to them. Now I have a decision to make. Do I follow evil? Or do I follow good? Now, can you honestly,
right.
Brother Brandon, could you honestly tell me that God would want you to turn over a poor little Jewish child so they could be burned in an oven somewhere?
No, I can't, brother. I can't. But, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of your mainstream pastors today would do just that. And I've got a quote. I've got a quote right here that I want you to hear. And it is from a very well-known pastor today, one named John MacArthur. And here's his statement on Romans 13. I just have to find this. He said, now listen to this. It doesn't matter whether your ruler is Caesar, Herod, Pilate, Felix, Festus, Agrippa, Stalin, Hitler, Winston Churchill, Bill Clinton. It doesn't matter who it is. He says, be subject. You teach them to be subject.
Well, let me tell you something. That guy is so dead wrong, it makes me sick to my stomach to listen to a preacher tell somebody to be subject to evil and to commit
Amen.
Evil acts against God's word. And that guy is going to be judged someday if he is born again. He's going to be judged by God if it's not the white throne judgment. But if he isn't, if he does go to the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to be judged for telling people to follow evil. My Bible says follow not the multitude to do evil. We are not
Amen.
To follow evil. We are to follow that which is righteous in God's eyes. And this is what this verse is saying. It's saying, for now listen, if you stopped at verse number one or verse number two, then you would think that you're to follow everything that man is that a civil government leader is to say. Everything. Well, listen, let's test that out. Over in China, it's illegal. It was illegal to have a church. To smuggle
mm-hmm.
Bibles in under the Iron Curtain back in the Cold War times. It was illegal
right.
to smuggle Bibles. So when they smuggled Bibles and they didn't obey the powers that be that were ordained of God, that they didn't obey them, does that mean that they were sinning and God was judging them for getting the gospel to people and that they were being saved by the grace of Almighty God because some man decided that he was going to follow God and he was not going to follow man?
Right. Amen. And I mean,
fired up, brother, when I start talking about this, I get fired
Amen.
Up.
Get fired up, brother. We need to get fired up. We need a lot of fire under a bunch of cold, dead, dry Christians out there who've just fallen asleep. And,
over to China. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, they let the murder mills just keep on churning here in America, and they sleep good in their beds at night. It doesn't bother them a bit that we're murdering them by the thousands. And we've let the sodomite agenda overrun us in this country. We have let the morals of this country drop into the gutter, and nobody seems to be alarmed at it.
That's right. And here's another thing. Many pastors would consider that man over in China to be a hero because he took the gospel over there and he disobeyed government to obey God. I'll give you another example of that. The midwives for the Hebrew women that were having children back in the Bible times during Moses' time, Pharaoh sent a decree out and said, listen, you kill the babies if they're boys when they come out. And you know what those women did? They went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh said, why haven't you killed these babies? And they said, oh, well, these women, they're strong when they have a baby. We can't kill their babies. They won't let us. We can't even put them to death. They're strong when they have children. And God, and the Bible says that God honored them for not killing those babies and for following him, that God blessed them and honored them. Now, listen, now the average fundamental Baptist pastor right now is probably beating his head against the wall and not being able to understand that. But if he understood Romans chapter 13, he would get the point that God is for good and not for evil. And civil government has a responsibility to judge evil, but not that which is good. Because it says here, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. If I use this same thing, I'm not changing the Bible because the Word of God, the King James Bible, is inspired and perfect. I don't need to change anything. But in order for you to understand it, maybe possibly, he's saying, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Listen, the prevailing teaching here is that you as Christians, we as Christians, as born-again believers, ought to follow the law of God and ought to be good citizens. And we ought to love the Lord, and we ought not be punished as an evildoer. As you're going to see as we continue to go down the line, that we are not to be punished as an evildoer. And that's what Paul is talking about. You can't go out there and spread your Christian liberty and say, well, I can do what I want to do. I can be drunken. I can run around. I can fornicate. I can steal. I can rob because I'm saved and I can do what I want to do. No, the Apostle Paul is saying they're there to not to be a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He's saying those rulers ought to praise the good that's being done. And if they're good rulers, and if they're rulers that are ordained of God, then they're going to praise that which is good. They're going to praise that which is right. And those are the people
Absolutely.
That we're to follow and respect.
Absolutely. When you were saying that just now, it just made me think, We've got some leaders within fundamental Christianity who think they can go ahead and just live as if there were no law and that they're untouchable. And it just flies in the face of what you just said.
Amen, brother. It does. And he goes on to say here, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. Now,
Amen.
What does that mean? Well, government has a sword, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And government will use that sword, and it's supposed to use that sword to combat evil. However, today our government is using that sword all over the world to kill and to invade countries and to take them over and now the chickens have come home to roost, and what they're doing now is they're going to turn that sword in on our nation and enforce laws and take guns away and do all these other things. We need to be called to repent. God is calling us to repentance as a nation
Amen.
Right now, as born-again believers in our churches. I don't look at the nation and say, oh, my goodness, it's the homosexuals. No, my friend, it's the Christians in Bible-believing
mm-hmm.
churches that need to repent and get right with God.
Amen. Praise God. Brother, we're going to go to break here in about 4 minutes. And on the other side of the break, we've got another caller coming in. And that is your cohort from down in Austin, Texas, Brother Gerald Finney, who's going to weigh in on the other side of the break. So we're excited to have Brother Finney. He's holding right now. He can hear us talking. So we'll be glad to welcome him. We're going to wait till after break, though. But again, yeah, he is a minister to thee, a minister of God to thee for good. I remember sitting in a, I've told you this before, but I remember sitting in a First cafeteria with my good friend, Pastor Larry Hickam from out in Amarillo, Texas. And there were two police officers sitting at the table. And Brother Hickam, he had on his Repent for the Kingdom of Heaven is at Hand jacket on. And anyway, he said something to that effect. I don't know. He said repent in big red letters, and it preaches. And he turned around to him. He said, "Hey, fellas." He said, "I just want to tell you, I thank God for y'all." He said, "Y'all are the ministers of God." And they both looked at him like, "Who is this nut talking to me?" But he told him, he said, "You're the ministers of God. You're supposed to protect us and enforce the law against those that are evil." And I mean, he started preaching a message to them right there in the restaurant, and those guys both looked like they about swallowed their spoon when he started preaching to them. But hey, listen, I tell you what. Folks need to know what the Bible says, not just the layman in the pew, but the pastor behind the pulpit and the policeman and the sheriff and the deputies and everybody involved in law needs to understand the Bible, because again, they wouldn't have any power if it weren't from God. And they are to handle God's laws, not their laws, but God's laws. And of course, we know that our society was established based upon the second table of the law. And, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are the laws. Our laws are based upon those laws. And, anyway, go ahead. We got about 2 minutes. Talk us to break.
Okay, well, listen, he goes on to say here, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. There you go, good versus evil. Again, remember that through the theme, good versus evil through Romans 13. But if thou doest that which, do that which is evil, be afraid. So you and I should be afraid as Christians, if we're out there doing evil, that God will take his civil government and will punish us. One needs only to look at a recent pastor that was caught fornicating with a 16-year-old girl. Recently,
right.
And civil government came in, and that man will do prison time. Why? Because
Amen.
He did evil. He did that
That's
which
right.
is evil, and he should be afraid. For the Bible says, for he beareth not the sword in vain. What's the sword? The sword of justice. The
Amen.
Sword to come in and to deal with things. And for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God gave the responsibility to man to have civil government, and he gave that responsibility to them to be able to. That's why God instituted the law and gave us the law, and he gave us that second table of the law to deal with our man, and that there is a government that would be set up in this nation. It's a constitutional republic that is set up, and there are
Amen.
Rules, and there are guidelines, biblical guidelines, even in our law to follow. And he's a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And that's the goal of civil government. They're to be a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. They're not to punish that which is good, but that which is evil.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, we're going to go to the break, and we've got about 45 seconds left before we go to break. And on the other side of the break, Brother Lehman, you going to stay with us?
I got some family duties to take care of, but I will be
okay,
listening
we're
on
gonna,
the computer.
We're going to relinquish you from the radio program tonight, brother. It's been good to have you with us, and I look forward to having you call in the near future. So we wish you and yours well, and may God bless you down there in Florida, and keep up the good work for the Lord, brother.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
God bless you, brother. Amen. Well, we're going to go to break, and I want to remind you that number one more time before we go, 646-915-9266. And we'll see you here in just a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast right after the break.
Couldn't take the pain. No, but it's not the place for Christians to take matters in his own hands.
So I just turn it over, report it to the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. Neither death nor hot nor kryptonite steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plan. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman. All he just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth, where they plot it was just a killing. They drove nails in his feet and his hands, and he conquered sin and he lives again, the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day, and neither death nor height nor kryptonite steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plan. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman.
We're back here on the program, the Old Paths Broadcast. I'm your host, Brother Brandon Teague, broadcasting to you from downtown Paris, Texas, pastor of Faith Baptist Church here in Paris, Texas, and we are distinctly Baptist, and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and we make no apologies for either one, and we're thankful to be coming to you on Blog Talk Radio on this program, the Old Paths Broadcast, and I have on the line with me tonight as we're talking on the subject of the final authority. Who is the final authority? That is the biggest, most pressing question in the world today and has always been ever since. Well, let me just go ahead and bring my two guests in. Pastor Jason Cooley, pastor of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, and both of our good friends. Again, I always say keeps Austin weird because they got a slogan out in Austin, keep Austin weird. Well, to them, he's weird because he served the Lord Jesus Christ and makes no apologies. But anyhow, Brother Gerald Finney from down in Austin. Brother, we're glad you're there.
Good to be here, Pastor Brandon. Yeah, this is Skinny Attorney Finney from Austin.
Skinny Attorney Finney. I'm thankful you're with us tonight, brother, and we're trying to hammer down on that subject of who has the final authority, and it is. It's the most important question that you can ever settle in your life, other than your salvation. And you know, I'm just mindful. You know, it's been a question ever since old Lucifer looked at the throne of God and said, you know, if I could, I'd kill God and take that throne.
Amen. And I just got to heat it up listening to you guys. Thank God for your program and thank God for your covering this issue. I just had a thought and then I'll just hang up. But I just wanted to say, people like John MacArthur on that particular subject that you read from is like all other Christians who believe like he does. And that is, they are actually, and they do not know this, they do not understand that they are actually Antichrist. This is the same thing that started at the Tower of Babel, like you said, it really goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But it's that attempt to unify government and religion.
Yes.
Government and religion walking hand in hand, lockstep, for the same goals, according to the same principles. This is, and any time you have that happen, you have the worst of persecution by the establishment, the political and the religious working together must persecute good, God-fearing, straight-living, honest people who follow only the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to do it because you cannot fit into their system. And so we have untold millions of Christians who are contributing to, unbeknownstly, due to a false interpretation of Romans 13 and other verses in the Bible, contributing to the advance of the one world government, the one world religion. They're bringing it forward more quickly and do not even understand what they're doing, and that's all I had to say.
Amen. Well, you're right. And, in talking of that, in that union of church and state, of course, we know the Catholic Church has always been for the union of church and state, but they just got him a new pope, and he's a Jesuit, so he's kind of the Catholic Gestapo or the Catholic KGB to begin with, so he's the ultimate pope as far as they're concerned. Because he is an infiltrator. He's kind of like CIA in their world. Am I right, Brother Cooley?
Oh yeah, you got it. That's exactly what he is. It's just the vicar of hell there got elected yesterday, and they didn't elect a pope. They elected a president or the head of what they call the head of the church. Well, Jesus Christ is the head of each and every local New Testament church, and the Pope is a messenger of the devil, and I make no bones about it. His doctrine is from hell, and
Amen.
He will be punished in the lake of fire for all of eternity if he doesn't
Amen.
Repent of his wickedness.
That's right. There's another hot spot. I think I actually ran into a Jesuit one time. He had been posing as an evangelical Christian, and he and I would talk, and he would praise God and speak about the grace of God. One day I heard him evangelizing a young man trying to evangelize him and bring him into the Catholic Church, and he was telling him things about Catholicism. But after the young man left, I confronted him and I said, well, if St. Augustine was so great, how do you explain his development of the theology that led to the murder of approximately 50 million people over the next 1,000 or so years? And if St. Thomas Aquinas was so great, why did he support that and contribute to those murders and so on? He said, well, it wasn't 50 million, it was only 10,000. I said, well, I beg to differ, but at any rate, how do you explain it? He said, well, it's better that they killed him than let him lead people to hell. So this is the way they look at things.
Yep, that's exactly right. Amen. Well, God help them. That's all I can say.
Let me throw my 2 cents in.
Well, duly noted, brother. And thank you. And just stay right there. If you got something, you got to say, just kick your way into the conversation, brother. But we're glad to have you on the air with us. And I tell you what, those folks out there that are listening, Brother Gerald Finney, he's a warrior for truth. And if you didn't listen to our last show, Brother Gerald Finney, he, working along with Pastor Cooley, is helping pastors to get their church unyoked from state government, from the IRS, from those entanglements through incorporation and 501c3. And I would urge you, Brother Finney, is it all right for me to give out your number on the air if there's a pastor out there that would like to get in touch with you? Okay. If there's a pastor out there who's listening to this program, realize, hey, I've got to get my church out of that yoke. Get in touch with Brother Gerald Finney, and his number is 512-785-6445. And that is 512-785-8445. And he can help you out with getting your church out of that yoke of bondage. And before we go any further, let me remind folks of our call-in number as well. Our call-in number, if you'd like to call in and be a part of the show tonight, 646-915-9266. And also you can get a hold of Brother Gerald Finney at www.gerald, that's with a J, J-E-R-A-L-D, .finney.wordpress.com. Thank you, Brother Finney.
Thank y'all, brother. Enjoying the program.
Amen. Well, Brother Cooley, let's get back to it. I think we're in verse 5, if I'm not mistaken. And verse 5 says, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake.
Yes, he's talking, the Bible is being very clear here. The Lord's being very clear here. Wherefore you must needs be subject. So you are to subject yourself to that which is good, that which is right and just in the eyes of God, not only for the wrath of civil government that could come down on you, but for your own conscience sake, that you be right with God, that you can walk with God. And when your conscience is defiled and your conscience is afflicted over evil that you've done, then you can't walk with God, and therefore you must needs be subject then for that reason, because otherwise your heart is going to be in such turmoil because you're doing evil and wicked. Now, let me say this.
Now, wait a minute, brother. Hold on a minute. Let me throw this thought at you. So if the interpretation that we've been given all these years by those in authority, if it is correct, then according to this, that we should follow the government. The government says abortion is legal. That any young woman can go down and have a baby aborted, and that we should be able to do that with a clear conscience.
Right.
Am I right? If you follow civil government.
Right. If you follow that interpretation.
Absolutely, and whether God says it's murder or not, we should be able to do it with a clear conscience when we follow that interpretation. We should be able to, we should be able to do anything that the government says is okay. Again,
right.
If they're your God, you're right. Go ahead.
If they're your God, if you're following them, if you take your morality from the civil government, if you take your ethics or your principles from civil government, then you are sorely mistaken. You're going to follow that which is evil, and your conscience is going to be defiled from that. Our principles come from the Word of God and should always come from the Word of God as Christians.
Amen. So when it says, but for conscience sake, my conscience shouldn't bother me if the government disagrees with me. My conscience should bother me if I am disobeying the Lord, God Almighty.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you're doing evil, then your conscience should bother you, and you
Amen.
Will be defiled. And Paul is saying, how can you live in this world as a Christian? How can you walk with God and have a defiled conscience? You can't do it. You've got to be right. So be subject to that which is good. Don't do evil.
Amen. Verse 6 says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore, verse 7, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to who custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Can we read verse 8 as well?
No, go ahead and stop right there for a second.
Okay.
And very clear that we pay tribute also, and that we pay those the Constitution is the law of the land, and whatever tribute is required from that, you know, is your responsibility to pay as far as that goes. The Bible says, "For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due." You know, if there's someone that you need to tribute or honor and respect, then respect and honor them. Not over God, though. Not over what God custom to whom custom is due. That's like you're in another country and they do things a different way, or you're in front of leaders and they have a certain protocol that they follow. As long as it doesn't dishonor God, as long as the custom is not anti-biblical or against God's righteous law, then by all means, custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. That means a reverence. Reverence to whom you're to reverence. Have respect to them to whom you're to have respect to. Honor to whom honor is due. Give that honor to them as they are following God and being the ministers of God. Then you honor them as well as those ministers unto thee for good. And, you know, the Bible is very clear that this is all speaking in the context of good, not evil.
Amen. Hey, brother, we got a caller who wants to call in, wants to say something on the program. This is Charlotte from Paris, Texas. Charlotte, are you there?
Yes. Hey, Brandon.
Go ahead, Charlotte.
With you and Brother Cleet wholehearted.
Amen. We're glad you agree wholeheartedly, sister. Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. I'm glad.
Is that all you had, sister? Okay, well, she's out. But anyway, we're glad we got one out there that agrees with us wholeheartedly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Were we going on to verse 8, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Now, isn't that interesting that he comes to that point right there? This is the crux of the argument here. This is the crucial of the teaching right here. Owe no man anything but to love one another. That means when you are dealing with your fellow man, now he's explaining civil government's responsibility in depth now. Now he's giving you the practical application. He's showing you, I've given you the instructions to honor to whom honor is due. I've showed you the right teaching here. I've showed you what you need to do to obey them. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Do that. Don't resist the power of those that are good. Do that which is good, not that which is evil. He goes on to explain it. Now he's going to give the application of it. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So why would he bring the law up? Well, look at verse number 9. Go ahead and read it for us.
All right. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Well, here you go. Here is the teaching. Now what we see is the second table of the law. That's exactly what we see. We don't see the first table of the law as worshiping God, be legislated by the government or a church-state rule over your conscience or control your body or control your family. God never gave civil government control over your family. I don't care what any president of the United States says. I don't care what Hillary Clinton says when she says it takes a village to raise an idiot. I mean, a village to raise a child. I don't care what she says. It doesn't matter to me what she says. It matters to me what the Word of God says. And God's Word is very clear that civil government has a responsibility concerning the second table of the law. And here is the second table of the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Civil government, if you commit adultery and there's a problem with divorce or something like that, then civil government will come in and settle some of those matters. Thou shalt not kill. Obviously, we know we can't murder. We're not allowed to murder. We're not allowed to cold-bloodedly murder people. Thou shalt not steal. We're not allowed to steal. Why? Because you're defrauding your neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You're lying about your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Covet means that I see in my mind something that I want, and then I go to take what is not mine. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't it interesting? that he is talking about your neighbor. He is taught, why? Because he is talking about the second table of the law. He is talking
Amen.
About life, liberty, and property. Your dealings with your fellow man. That's
right.
That's where the good and the evil comes in.
So we're really just talking about how to be a good Christian is what we're talking about here. How to be pleasing unto the Lord and unto man at the same time.
Yes, exactly. He is saying that we are not to, don't think because you're a Christian that you're not subject to this world at all, that you don't have to obey any law and you can do whatever you want to do. No, he's saying you should obey that which is right, but don't follow a multitude to do evil. But if you are to do right, if civil government has something that is right, then and godly and right and pure, then yes, you should follow it. If it's not against my law, then you should follow it.
It brings to mind a passage from Proverbs, and it behooves me to remember the chapter and verse. But the verse says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
So
Amen. That's exactly true. That's the teaching right there.
That's it summed up in a nutshell.
It really
Amen.
Is. That's exactly what he is saying there. He's also saying, there's verses over in Peter as well that talk about submit to every ordinance of man. And he's dealing with, again, the same teaching. He's dealing with the fact that you are to submit to those things that we should never be punished as an evildoer. God's people should never be named among them that they're punished for evil doing. Just like this Christian, this pastor that was caught in fornication or adultery and, rape, so to speak, basically, according to the law of the land now in that state, statutory
right.
rape charges or whatever, that should not be named among God's people. They should be punished for evil doing. We shouldn't be. We should never be
right.
punished for that. He is very clear here that, owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law, and he gives the law, and he says, love worketh, and go ahead and read verse number 10, brother.
Love worketh no evil. I'm sorry, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yes. So basically, don't you get it? What he's saying is that, now how can I say, well, I'm going to love my neighbors myself, and I'm supposed to turn in these Jews that are hiding out in this house, and I know some Jews are, and I'm supposed to turn them in because, I'm going to obey them that have the rule over me or submit to every ordinance of man. So man made an ordinance that I'm to turn this Jewish boy in, then I should just do that. Or you need to turn all your weapons in and not be able to protect your family at all. It's kind of like taking a man's horse or his car or something like that and then saying, now go try to provide for your family.
Exactly, and that's exactly what led our Baptist forefathers to raise up arms against the British at the Battle of Alamance. They were taking their property, and they were making it hard for them to live. And they finally could take no more. And they raised. And I know I'm bringing up an obscure topic there, but in the beginning of the Revolutionary War, that's one of the things that started it was the Brits taking away the things that belonged to those who believe the word of God. They weren't trying to work ill against their neighbor. They were certainly trying to worship God and do it peaceably. But it was taking away their ability to provide for their family.
That's right. That's right. And that's not the teaching here that says, well, just go ahead and do that. Just lay down everything you got. And that happened to the Waldensians. The ancient Baptists over there in the valleys of Piedmont, the king wanted them to lay down all their arms. They laid down all their arms, and many of them were slaughtered. 4,000 of them were slaughtered. The Jews and the Germans over in Nazi Germany, they laid down their arms, and what happened to them? They were slaughtered. They were wholesale slaughtered over there, and they couldn't even defend themselves against a tyrannical government that forced them to starve out Jewish people, and they hit, some of the brave ones obeyed God and hit people, and fed them anyway, which is what I would
right.
do in the first place.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, a dead man can't witness.
Amen.
I mean, so So I mean, that's why we got to stick around as long as we can. I'm looking for the Lord to come, but you know what? If He doesn't come for a while, I'm looking to have to fight through some tyranny, unless things change in this nation. I'm looking at having to struggle just to provide for my own, and God help them if they take away my right to provide. You know, I'm gonna protect my family, and I know you'll protect your family, and we've got to get this matter settled of who is in charge. If God's in charge, or if man's in charge. So I mean, I think it's very plain to me. Very plain. I mean, I want to live a good, peaceful life, Brother Cooley. I know you want to live a good, peaceable life. One thing people forget many times is that all these other religions out there, and we hear these leaders talk about what a wonderful, especially Obama, talk about what a wonderful, peaceful religion Islam is, but yet the Quran is full. Or the Quran, as he puts it, he says it so fluently, as he puts it, you know, it's full of atrocities against other people. I mean, it tells people to commit these atrocities against other human beings. And all these other religions, if you will not submit to them, they want to kill you. But Christianity is the only, and I'm talking about pure biblical Christianity, is the only true religion, first of all and foremost, and it is the only one that is not forced upon people with violence.
Well, let me also make a clear statement there, too. Baptist interpretation, so to speak, of the Bible is the way our nation was founded upon those principles of liberty. Rhode Island was ran by two Baptists, and Rhode Island was the first free state where a Jewish synagogue could even come to the United States of America, or at that time it was the United States, but that was the first place that a Jewish synagogue ever was in Rhode Island. Why? Because they believed in religious liberty. But see, the problem is that many take this Romans 13 and use it and mix the church state with it. All major denominations besides the Baptist theology in the past understood a church state was wrong, and that any time that you get a church state, I mean, Calvin had his, and he put seven children to death. He hung them all on a tree somewhere. He burnt servitors for his doctrinal beliefs. Other people, Luther tried to run his own too as well. I mean, he tried to run his own show there. There's others. Zwingli murdered Baptists. He drowned them. There's all kinds of that wanted to mix the church and state together, and it's a false interpretation even of Romans 13 to force it. I mean, Luther had an interpretation that said that, well, if the princes were to by force, by the sword, convert these people if they didn't believe the way they did. So they went and they slaughtered the Anabaptists because Luther told them it was okay to do it.
Yep. Amen. Brother, we're going to go to break. We're going to take a break here in just a second, and we'll be back, and we'll continue this talk for the next 30 minutes on this subject of Romans 13, who's the final authority. But before we do go to break, I want to talk a little bit about the music the folks have been hearing during the break. That's coming to you from the Marksman Quartet, and I sent Brother Finney home with a little Marksman Quartet music. And the Marksman Quartet, you can find them at www.marksmanquartet.com. And for those local listeners who are listening to us in the Paris, Texas area, let me just remind you that they are going to be in Greenville, Texas, this coming Monday night at 7 p.m. And I would advise you, if you enjoy the Marksman, if you enjoy the music, go and see them. If you're in the 100-mile radius of Greenville, Texas, I recommend you go and you hear the Marksman Quartet Monday night at 7 p.m. It's the only time we're probably going to get to hear them in this area, and they are fantastic. And we're going to hear one from them here in just a few moments that really rings true to the times we're living in. It's them doing their version of Matthew 24. My good friend Mark Wheeler and the Marksman Quartet, his dad Earl Wheeler, and Davey Waller and Darren, all those guys, Mark Autry, we're thankful for all of them, thankful for their friendship, thankful to be using their music on the program. Take it away, Marksman Quartet. We'll see you after the break. Mm-hmm.
watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him, saying, tell us when these things are going to be. Jesus answered, be watching, let each one be free from sin, and take heed no man shall ever you deceive. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is near. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, as in Matthew it appears. We should live our life for him and sing his praise. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. We are living, surely living, in the days he speaks about. All these things we know are happening every day. Let's be ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Amen. Back on the air, Brother Brandon Teague, along with Pastor Jason Cooley, and we are just marching right down through the scriptures here, Romans chapter 13. Then we've just about covered this thing, brother. I mean, we've established that this passage of scripture, when it's, you know, when it's rightly divided according to the rest of the Word of God, according to our understanding of what God has said, then we understand that this is not telling us to blindly submit to any whim of any government, no matter what. We're to obey God first. And when God says something and the government says something to the contrary, we're to be civil disobedience.
That's right. If you look at the apostles, when they had healed the man that was sick and hurting, and they healed him. They marched him up in front of the council, and they said, "Hey, listen, we commanded you not to preach in this man's name and not to do anything in this man." Some people say, "Well, I'll stand up when they say not to preach the gospel." They weren't preaching the gospel. They healed the man of his sickness, and they brought him up before them and wanted to throw him into jail before. And they looked at them and they said, "We would obey God rather than man."
Right. I tell you what, I'm going to pull that up because I want to look at that scripture because I know it's, you know, the thing they said was, by whose authority do you do these things?
Always an authority issue.
Yes, sir. That's really what it's about. And by whose authority, in whose name, by whose authority, that's all they want to know because... That's what the whole thing comes down to. That's why people like you and I who believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why you and I are on the Department of Homeland Security watch list. And every Christian that believes like we do, we're looked at as enemies of the state because we believe in King Jesus, not in King Hussein Obama. And because of that, we are a threat because they know that the Bible, which we believe, teaches that someday the Lord Jesus Christ is going to overthrow all governments. It's that authority,
right,
brother. It scares them.
Amen. It should.
Amen. I'm telling you right now, I stand with my forefathers when they said we have no king but King Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now, where were we going? What verse were we in? We were in Romans 13. We were in verse 11.
That's right. Go ahead, brother.
And what a wonderful verse it is. Amen. And that knowing the time, if there were ever a verse that we need right now, it's this one right now. These next two verses. That knowing the time, that now, N-O-W, now, my friends out there in radio listening land, now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. And let me just say before you go on and talk about it, listen to me, we have been lulled to sleep in Satan's nursery. He's patting our little powdered bottoms, and he's keeping us resting comfortably in this panacea of sin and wickedness on every hand. He's just got everybody just snoring and sawing logs. Just stay asleep until I can take over the whole thing. He said, the Bible says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Oh, I'm telling you right now, hey, I think heaven's choir is warming up.
Amen.
You may go ahead and read the next one. The night is far spent. I'll just go ahead and do it anyway. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I mean, how could it be said any better, brother?
Amen. It's right there, plain as day here. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time. Folks, like Pastor Brandon said, we've been sleeping. Everybody has been lulled to sleep by entertainment, amusement, sports. They know more about the Super Bowl, and they don't know that the Super Bowl is the largest event ever for human trafficking. They're lulled to sleep by sporting events, lulled to sleep by entertainment, worried about what some goofy movie star is doing and about how many marriages they're having, how many tattoos they're having, and they're all a bunch of New World Order, Illuminati, fake wannabe operatives that are out there, and they're lulling American Christians to sleep with their entertainment and their amusement. And Paul is saying, now it is time. The Holy Ghost is saying, now it is time to awake out of his high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation near. He says that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Again, he's referencing the whole chapter and explaining, listen, cast off evil. We don't want anything to do with evil. We want to do that which is righteous. Civil government has that responsibility to judge evil. Let's do what's righteous in God's eyes.
Amen. And if you want, you know, if people out there need points of reference from the Bible, I mean, we can go back in the Old Testament. We can point it out there, too. I mean, hey, you look at the three Hebrew children. Did the three Hebrew children, what did they say? Did they say, you know, they said, hey, King, we're not careful to answer you. We're not worried about what you think. They said, you know, hey, if God delivers, he'll deliver us, but if not, we will never, we're not going to bow down. You forget that. Did Daniel, did he quiver and shake, or did he just get down on his knees and raise his window and pray to the Lord?
Amen.
I mean,
amen. Amen, brother. That's what he did, and he never changed anything. And listen, we must understand something, that the beast or government is a beast, the Bible says. It says that in Daniel. It says that in the end times, that the government is a beast. And the beast wants worship.
Mm-hmm. Amen. He wants worship. And what was it? I can't type fast enough to pull up what I want to pull up. But I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said that they were to chain him down, chain the government down with the chains of the Constitution.
That's right. That's right. And I remember one quote from the founding fathers that said government was a beast that was chained, and I thought about that for a while, and I said, yes, it was, but the beast has ripped its chains off and has turned on its own masters.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
let me hit that call-in number one more time. One more time, hit that call-in number, just in case. We've got about 19 minutes left in program, 646-915-9266. Pastor Jason Cooley along with Brother Brandon Teague. And again, we're talking Romans chapter 13, submitting to authority. Whose authority? Who's the final authority? And we've established through the study of the scriptures that God is the final authority. God is the ultimate authority. He is the one we answer to above all else. And when those two things contradict, We are to follow God no matter what. And I'm thankful that I've got it settled, brother. I'm very thankful to have that matter settled.
Yeah.
And oh, I would that so many other Christians out there would get that matter settled as well. I mean, it might cause revival to break out in some churches if they could get their eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not saying that, hey, America's going to turn around because, brother, I think she's far gone. But who knows what would happen in some local churches if some pastors could get this matter settled in their hearts and they begin to preach like God wants them to preach. And get their eyes on Jesus. Some church members turn off Fox News and turn off CNBC and CNN. Quit listening to the Mormon Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and letting those guys be their sages and their leaders. And look to the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen,
brother.
Let's
keep going. We got two verses left.
You go ahead, brother.
Let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Amen. He said, cast off those works of darkness. Cast those off, but don't just walk around without anything. You cast those off to put on those, the good things. Let us walk honestly as in the day. We're not rioting. We're not in drunkenness. We're not in chambering and wantonness and in strife always and envying. And those are all works of the flesh. We're not to be in the flesh. We're going to be judged by civil government if we get in the flesh and commit these crimes against man and we do things. But now he takes it off over. He says, you ought not be a drunkard. You ought not be caught up in strife and envying. And you're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit of God, then guess what? You're not going to be judged for evil, but you know what? You might happen to you. You might be persecuted for that which is right.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen, brother. That's the teaching right there. What he's saying is the crux of this whole teaching is this. You shouldn't be walking around and being judged by civil government an evildoer because of your wicked works. As a Christian, that brings shame to Christ. But if you are persecuted, like Peter said, happy are ye if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Amen. That's absolutely right, brother. I mean, that's saying Peter that I'm gonna have to find the verse, but that's that same Peter that was over there talking about submit yourself to every. What passage is that? Do you have that right handy on your brain?
I don't, brother. Let me pull it up here real quick.
I know it's First Peter, but anyway, you tell me what it is, or you can read it if you find it there. But I believe it's First Peter, chapter 2.
First Peter 2:13, brother.
Okay, I've got it in front of me. It says, "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors." Unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise, and for the praise of them that do well. So is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Amen. If you read those verses up above that, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that ye may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Then he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for what? For the punishment of evildoers.
Evildoers.
Amen. And for the praise of them that do well. See, Paul and Peter agree. There's no difference
Amen.
Between them.
And that same Peter that stood before the Sanhedrin, who were the authorities, and he said, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
Amen, brother.
That very same
Amen.
Peter.
Amen. And the lesson that he has for us is as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And he says, be subject to your masters. He goes through the order of things of what's right. But he also, in verse number 20, says, for what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. That is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow. You should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he's reviled not again, but when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
So what did he keep doing? Yeah, go ahead.
We're keep doing right,
and if we suffer for it, we suffer for it. If we have to stand and fight to defend our family and our home, then we have to stand and fight to defend our family and our home, to protect our family and those of us that we love. And, you know, if we have to face jail time for preaching the gospel, then we face jail time for preaching the gospel. Whatever we must endure for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, we're not going to suffer shame for doing his will. We'll suffer shame if we're, as the Bible talked about, as Paul talked about over in Romans 13, like a lot of people are doing. They just give up. They say, what's the use? This world's gone to hell in a handbasket. Let's just go get drunk. Let's forget about it. Let's sleep around. That's what everybody else is doing in the churches these days. Let's just go ahead and just care and pretend that sin doesn't matter.
That's exactly what's going on today, brother, and that's exactly what Paul is warning against, is we shouldn't be judged as an evildoer. But if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye.
Amen. Amen. Brother, I tell you what, we're going to have to wake them up. I hope and pray that this radio show goes viral. I hope it spreads across this country and better than that, I hope it goes across the free world, because folks need to hear this message. We need to beat this drum loud and long, because I'm telling you, it's not that I think that America's going to have some great recovery. Because I don't, and you don't. And listen, we know that, hey, this world has to go through a one world order. It has to go into that. And, you know, Satan is going to be, he's going to be in charge for 7 years on this earth. And things have to progress toward that. Listen, I mean, we're not delusional here thinking we're going to change the world. We're going to stop that from happening, because we know that's not going to, We know we're not going to do that, but if we can at least wake up some slumbering believers, if we can at least wake up some slumbering pastors, to realize that maybe they've been sipping this government Kool-Aid a little too heavy, and they're fooled into believing the lies that they've been told by sitting and listening to the talk shows and by sitting and watching the television. And oh, my soul, brother, it just grieves me, because I've been awake to this stuff about 8 years, and it just kills me to see people so deceived.
Yes, brother, and it's tough to take, and it's, you have to have a lot of patience and prayer for people, and just try to get shows like this out. It's so important that we get these truths out. Even from our, just not in our churches and our pulpits and in our evangelism, but even on the airwaves and use the radio and use whatever avenue, venue we can to reach people with this truth.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we've got about 8 minutes left, brother. If you got some closing statements you want to make on this, I'd love to just let you run with it and then we'll close out.
All right, brother. Yeah, as I look at this, the greatest lesson I think that we can learn from this, just to summarize it all up, is that God's law trumps man's law every time. That as a Christian, as a born-again believer, we must follow God's word, and we will suffer for that, someday all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We will suffer it someday for this, but the closer we get to God, the more strange and peculiar we look to the world, and the more they don't like it. When a man follows God, his friends and those around him will look at that, and they will not understand why you have to be so peculiar, and why you just don't give your kids vaccines if you don't want to, and why you don't just send them to the public school system, and why you don't just go along with this, with everything that this world has, and all the magic of Hollywood, and all the movies, and everything else. Why you don't do all those things? It's because God's law is above man's law. And our rulers must understand that too, that God's law is above their law. Even if they don't believe in God, even if they don't follow God, they're still subject to God. And the Constitution is the law of the land of the United States of America, not some legislator standing up and not some president that usurps his authority, writes executive orders that are against the Constitution, against the law of the land. He is a lawbreaker when he does that. He is not a law keeper. He's a lawbreaker. But Christians who believe and follow the Constitution, but follow the Bible above the Constitution, are law abiders. They're law keepers. They're not lawbreakers. And we, as Christians, should never suffer for evil. We should never be out there rioting and in drunkenness and fornication and wickedness. That shouldn't be our testimony. Not only for wrath's sake, that the wrath of God through the sword of government will come upon us, but also for conscience sake. We ought to live for Jesus Christ and have a good testimony because we've been washed in his blood and forgiven of our sin and cleansed and made righteous in the sight of God's eyes. And we ought to follow the word of God. We ought to follow God. But you and I may someday, Brother Brandon, suffer persecution for following God.
Amen, brother. And that's the truth. And, you know, when we talk about that, I don't look forward to suffering persecution. I don't think anybody does. Any human being that loves their own flesh doesn't get excited about the idea of suffering persecution. But I want to say to those out there, those believers who may be weak when it comes to that, when they think of that, and it may cause them to maybe to faint in their minds, let me just remind you that if you're a born-again child of God, that you have the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you, and he gives God's grace for everything we must endure. And God will provide grace to stand by his word. God will give you grace. He's told us, you know, if you're called to give an answer before the authorities, not to think about what we're going to say. God will put the words in our mouth. And I'm thankful that we have a God like that, who's a personal, loving God, who takes into account everything we must go through, because he stood before accusers, and he's been through everything. He's been through everything and more than we'll ever have to endure. So I'm going to tell you something. He gets excited about those that go through persecution. And Brother Cooley, I'm reminded of when the first martyr took place, when Stephen was stoned for his faith. And I'm reminded of when those stones were coming in and pelting him, and as he was dying, and he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Hey, Stephen was dying. He was standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ stood up off the throne and cheered for Stephen. And
amen.
That's one of the
that's
powerful
right.
images in the Word of God to me is Jesus. We know the Bible says he's seated at the right hand of God, and he stood up. He said, "I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father." He was standing up cheering for Stephen. Amen. And I'm so thankful to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to say to those out there who may be listening to us, if someone has stumbled across this program and you're not sure that if you were to die, that you're going to heaven, let me just say to you very briefly in this little moment of time that I have, my friend, I want you to know something today, that God loves sinners, and he loves them so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for the sins of all mankind. And my friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you, and he wants to be your Savior, but you have got to see yourself as a sinner before Almighty God. And my friend, you know just as well as I knew, just as well as Pastor Cooley knew, that we're all sinners. We have all failed. We have all come short of the glory of God. We have all, none of us measure up to God's perfection. We're sinners. We have sinned against God who made us, our Creator. And if the Holy Ghost of God begins to show you that, I want to tell you something. You need to come before God, and you need to repent before God and turn to His sacrifice, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe upon Him and His shed blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary for you. Believe on Him and trust Him to be your Savior, and He'll save your soul. My friend, then you can be part of those of us who have been washed in the blood and have our names written down in heaven. I'm telling you, I'm thankful today to be a Christian. I'm thankful for the freedoms that I have. I'm thankful for the freedom to be able to come on this radio show and express our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs. And I'm just amazed that God has afforded us this opportunity. I'm humbled by it. And I realize that I'll be called into account for every word, every idle word I speak. And I pray that none of these words are idle. Pray that God be glorified through everything we do on this show, through this program. My friends, I just want you to know that Pastor Cooley and I and all these that come on the air with us, we have your best intentions in heart. We're not on here to win friends and influence people. We're here to preach the truth. And Pastor Cooley, I just want to thank you for being my co-host today, and being my good friend in the Lord. And I just wish you the best in all that you do up there in Minnesota. Keep on going for God. And so I just want to tell you, I just thank you very much, brother.
Hey, brother, thank you for having me. It was a blessing to get to share this great truth with folks out there, and we just pray that it'll be received and that God will be glorified.
Amen. Well, brother, we'll talk to you on the other side. You have a blessed evening.
Amen, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I want to remind all those listeners out there that our next show will be coming up next Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll be talking on another hot topic. So we want you to be sure and tune in with us next week and get what God has for us. And my friends, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to be able to come to you, and I hope that we've cleared this subject up for you. I hope you understand that we're not coming on here to be just railing against government. We're not coming on here to try to raise up some kind of insurrection. We just simply want Christians to understand the Bible. We want Christians to know where and how to stand in these last days. And I'm thankful that I've got the Lord on my side. And as we leave out of here in just a moment, I just want to say to you that God loves you. And let God be true, but every man a liar. And as we leave out of here, we're going to stack them stones of truth one more time as a memorial. They stack those stones as a memorial, my friends, to remind them of what God brought them through. And I'm telling you, that's why we start to close this program with stack them stones. We're stacking those stones for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go.